being knit like that with our prayer partners that are concerned. And we were hoping for her to come out of that and get home. It looks like she made her way home before we did, because Michael, her husband, was able to read a prayer to her that his friend had sent to him from out west, Oregon, or some. And Mario sent a prayer that had every point of doctrine in trust in Christ and their grace and faith and all that there. He read that to her. He read her other scriptures. And at the end, when she was lucid and before she passed off to be with the Lord, she said, yes, she wanted to go to heaven. So we're going to go ahead and just claim that. And if we should be surprised at the end, then that'd be a surprise. But I do believe that she is there, and we're grateful so much for your prayers. We thought she was going to pull out and go home to Lisbon, where they live nearly to the edge of Lisbon there. But no, she's in a much better place, as they say. Praise God. Thank you for the use of the mission department for this past week. That's a tremendous place. We really needed a place to kind of look, hide away and be solid in solitude there, and it just was tremendous. And thank you so much, Pastor, for allowing me to come in tonight and bring a message from God's Word. This is kind of, if I had lived in Maine, and if y'all would let me, I would surely want my wife and I to join here at Grace Baptist Church. I mean, surely do. And I would live in Maine probably, you know, if I had more prisons up here. But we are busy down in the South. We had actually had a trip out to Texas right before, in October. And we got in touch with Pastor about Tracy. It was the 10th of October, so it was we were out there in the Dallas area. We had come from Corpus Christi. We were at Roll Off Homes with a devotion for the men and women on the program there. And we take that as an annual event for us every year. We had prison services out in the panhandle of Florida on the way to Texas, and then on the way back also, and got home in Jacksonville in time to find out about Tracy. But praise God, this year, 71 precious souls trusting Christ as Lord and Savior. We did have to cancel several meetings for the end of October here, but we're still going on. We got more to do in November when we get home, and we're scheduling for 2024 also for next year. Matter of fact, I already have the prison in upstate New York that we go to in January already set. So God's opening the doors. We're just going to go where He keeps opening. Amen. And it's always a great honor and great blessing to be here and to preach the gospel at Grace Baptist Church. If you turn in your Bibles to John chapter 11, John chapter 11 and verse 1. Scripture says, now a certain man was sick, named Lazarus, of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. We'll stop there. There'll be more scripture in the message, but let's pray and ask God to bless the reading of His Word. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, we want to praise You, dear God, for Your grace, Your mercy. Thank You, dear God, for the privilege it is to go into these prisons and to preach the gospel, for Yvonne to sing the praises in the hymn book of Zion. We ask in Jesus' name, dear God, that you would continue, dear Lord, to keep your hand upon us. Help us, Lord, to be faithful. And also, dear Lord, I pray that you help us to see those that do believe. Help us to see them to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord in their own lives. I pray in Jesus' name as you bless Grace Baptist Church here in Portland. Bless God's people here. Thank you for their solidarity with us and Tracy's sickness. I thank you, Lord God, for their prayers, for the prayers of these people. I ask that you bless, dear Lord, this church. Thank you for the mission conference, for the faith promise. We see much encouragement. Lord, we see your hand. And we ask that you, Lord, bless, dear Lord, the missions outreach at this church. Bless the missionaries that they support and their works. And thank you for their great honor it is to be a part of this missions outreach ourselves. We pray in Jesus' name tonight for this message. I ask God that you would have your sweet will and way, that you, Lord, would be glorified. And that God, if there's one here tonight that needs you, that has not received you, I pray this would be the time that he would come. Just come to Jesus. We get pray, thank you and praise you for all that you do in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, our passage here in John chapter 11, and we'll be looking at the whole chapter, most of it. But John chapter 11 is where Jesus raises Lazarus from the dead. And so let's look and see a little bit about this topic of raising Lazarus from the dead. Him raising Lazarus from the dead is described here in John 11 and also parts of John 12 there. And the account shows the ultimate power of God. It shows Jesus, the Christ, the Son of God, and his love for us. And it shows also his followers and their responses, as he is interacting with them here. And also it can show us an application for our lives as well. So let's look at some of the verses. It's going to be brief. I'll look at some of these verses and we'll just go to the message. But first, see the purpose, verse 4. Verse 4. When Jesus heard that, he said, "This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby." That's the purpose. Yes. That's the purpose. That's why the chapter's in this account, why the account's in this chapter. And I should say, it's the purpose for everything we do, or ought to be. Amen. Or ought to be, amen. And I want to ask, how high up is the glory of God on your list, on your life's priority list? And you know, we all have those things we're going to do first, second, third. I mean, what we got to do, what we will do, those are our priorities, things that we intend to do. How high is that? How high up is the glory of God? And then let's go on quickly to verses 9 and 10. Verses 9 and 10. Scripture says, Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him." First time reading this, or maybe a few, after the first few times of reading this, I'd see that verse 9 there, and I'd think, well, that's just saying, let's make hay in the sunshine. Let's get the work done while you got light to see, is sort of what I consider that to be meaning, because it is important not to waste time. It's important to redeem the time. There was a movie back in the 70s, John Wayne was in it, The Cowboys, where he had a group of boys that he was using to drive a herd of cattle to market. And all through that adventure of moving those cattle, every morning, every day, John Wayne would say, "Get up, let's go, we're burning daylight." that was this, actually became a theme, it seemed like, in the whole movie. It's not to be wasting time. And I'm not trying to glorify John Wayne by any means, because I don't approve of all those characters that he played through his career. I don't even know that he actually was saved, man, but he played a gunfighter, barroom brawler, and even a drunken marshal. No virtue there at all. But I kind of liked him. I kind of liked him because he was still the good guy, usually always the good guy. And he showed some common sense. And the Bible does tell us, it tells us, redeem the time because the days are evil. And folks, there is no time to waste. And we should be, us as believers, should be good stewards, not only of our treasure, not only of our talent, but of our time, because it's all His. All the time that we have, it's His time. And let's look again, though, at verse 10, because this is where Jesus is saying, but if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. Jesus had reminded us in John chapter 3 that men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. And let me just say, well, evil deeds will surely cause stumbles. And we need light. We need that light. The Bible says if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And we're going to have to get right to get the light. To get that light to be constant and daily, we need to be close, to be clean and close. And I see where the Lord has also said that He is the light, that He is the light. And I want to read a little bit from John chapter 3 and verse 21. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. He that doeth truth. Well, you can't do the truth until you know the truth. You can't do the truth until you know the truth. And the truth is God's Word. And we have it. We have it right here, the Bible. It's timeless. It's relevant. That means it matters. It's pertinent. That means it answers the questions. The questions that there are in life's issues. And also, he that doeth truth. He that doeth truth, if he's doing the truth, he understands there's a charge made in this Bible. And that charge is that mankind is guilty. Guilty as sinners. And then if he's doing truth, he that doeth truth, he accepts there's an indictment there. Separation from God. Eternal punishment. And trying to be as kind as I know how to say this, if you don't believe the Bible, there's not really much to be done to help. Not much I can do. Not much anyone can actually do. He that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. When he comes to the light, he's meeting those conditions. That conditions, repentance, faith, he's meeting those. And he takes there's an offer, that offer that's made. And that's a plea bargain that brings eternal life. Hallelujah. The offer is eternal life. Pardon, justification, glory. Glory to God. Amen. I took that one day. Amen. I received that offer from the Lord. And I thank God ever since that I have. That his deeds may be made manifest. It's just showing a display, a change of conduct that the person that's receiving this light will begin to show from that of a natural man to a spiritual man. A spiritual man. And it'll be obvious that they are wrought in God. No mistake about that. Anyone that has honest with themselves and they sees the difference, the change, they'll know. It's apparent that only God could do that. It had to be God's work. He didn't have to try to get better. Actually, he is better. The Holy Ghost is living inside. Hallelujah. You just need to follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit. So the Lord is talking about light here in 9 and 10, talking about the light, and He is that light. And then going on and looking at some of these verses briefly, I want you to see also Let's look at verse 18. Verse 18. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. So that's how far away Bethany was from Jerusalem, 15 furlongs, an eighth of a mile per. It's roughly nearly 2 miles, not quite. It's a pretty good little walk. They are walking. Which reminds me of a story I heard where there was a father, a daddy, that had a teenager in the house, and as he was getting older, 14, 15, the daddy said, "Well, son, when you get 18, if you stay out of trouble, if you're doing right, I'll buy you a car. I'll buy you a car for your 16th birthday." And so that was said, and it was reminded. The young man heard that more times than once. And then his 16th birthday came, and no car. And then later on, more time went by, no car. So the young man went to his dad and said, "Dad, my 16th birthday, you know, my birthday was not too long ago, but it's already passed, and you didn't get a car." And the father said, "Well, son, your hair's growing out much too long, so I want you to get a haircut if you're going to get a car." Now the boy rejected that. He resisted. He said, Dad, it's my business how long my hair is." And the father said, "Well, it's my business giving you a car or not." But the boy did have an argument. He said, "Dad, I looked in the Bible there on the coffee table, and I saw there the pictures, and the pictures all showed they saw Jesus with long hair. They showed Peter with long hair, and even Moses with long hair." And the dad said, "That's right, son, but they walked everywhere they went." This 2 mile walk is really quite a ways, but it's not too far, but it's far enough. And then verse 16, the Bible says, "Then said Thomas," which is called Didymus, "unto his fellow disciples, let us also go, that we may die with him." Thomas, verse 16, which is called Didymus. It's mentioned here in John chapter 20, verse 24, John chapter 21, verse 2. And I want to make a little disclaimer here. I want to say this, that a concordance is definition of a proper noun's expression, that expressive meaning is not any method of establishing doctrine. So we're not establishing a doctrine, okay? That's not intended. But because it's here, and it is interesting, Didymus is mentioned with Thomas, and I looked up in the concordance, and I found out that Didymus actually means twin or two. Twin or two. And I'm saying, well, I wonder why that is mentioned. And looked again and see that, was there a brother in the scriptures that we know of? Didn't see him. Didn't see that Thomas had a brother there that he spoke with, or that he had a mother lobbying on his behalf with or for. I didn't see any interaction with a twin brother or any brother. So I want to say that what this seems to be saying is that Thomas maybe had not dual personality, but two distinct types of how he reacted in life. I mean, we could see here in verse 16, he's ready to go and die with Jesus. Let us also go that we may die with him. He's right out with the other disciples, the other, and he says, "Come on, let's go ahead." Zealous. Let's be some courage. That's a lot of courage there to just go, let's go die with him. But what's he mostly noted for is doubting Thomas. Unless I can stick my finger in the wound of his hand, or unless I can thrust my hand in the wound of his side, I will not believe. I mean, that's documented also. So it's possible, it also seems to be likely, because it's mentioned these several times by John, that he had a dual personality, or at least he had two natures. And I said that for myself. I said, well, you know, how far is that away from me, from you and I? He'd ready to go and charge a hell with a squirt gun, as Billy Gray used to say. Or he's also doubtful that what he's doing is it even matters. I want you to see something, please. That he is showing us this dual purpose, dual-sidedness. And I think it's there that we might learn something from it. And what we actually ought to learn from it is like what James has said, the double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Need to pray and ask God to single purpose, and not be confused with the cares of this world and all this comes around, but be focused on Jesus and on the glory of God. The other thing I see here about Thomas, and we'll get to that a little later, is that he was ready to go, die with the Lord. So he was not. I'm not calling him a coward by any means, because he had a little lack of faith there, but he did. He does show two characteristics there, and so I want to quickly we'll go to Martha, because Martha is mentioned here too in our passage. And Martha is also got some concerns. Martha is a the sister of Mary, and Martha, she's not really any different from you and I either. First, she's disappointed in Jesus because he didn't come in time to heal Lazarus. And second, she goes on to tell Jesus, this is after Jesus tells her that Lazarus shall rise again. He's told her, yes, Lazarus will rise again. And she said, oh, she knows that. She wants to tell Jesus how much she knows from the scriptures. And then thirdly, when Jesus says, take ye away the stone there, as he's about to raise Lazarus, she's reflexive. And she says, oh, Lord, by this time he stinketh. So, she's got some issues herself that I want to explore some this evening, and along with Thomas, try to make an application that might help us. But let's continue with Martha, because she does show us some things about faith, and that ties in maybe more substantially in the message is the faith that she shows us for an application. Look first of all and see in verse 21, she's showing she's got faith that to believe that that the Lord would be able to heal Lazarus. Verse 21, then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if I hadest been here, my brother had not died. So she believes that. That's past faith. That's faith in what he could have done if he had just been here. And then there's also future faith, because Jesus did say, thy brother shall rise again. And then her answer to him is, oh, I know he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Kind of disappointed that maybe why I had to wait so long. I know that he shall rise again. And Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? You could take these two verses and go and make a gospel challenge right there with these two verses. And Jesus is telling her that. So she has shown here past faith in what Jesus could do, and she's showing future faith in what Jesus can do. She says, oh, I know that it's going to be in the future, just like you say, just like your book says. So that's past faith, future faith, but verse 27 shows also she possesses or has present time, present tense faith. She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which had come into the world. So she's got present faith. Now, after he spoke with her, there in verse 25 and 26. So she's showing us these tenses of faith, which are handy to understand and to see. Because I want to preach a little while, Lord willing, here on these many lessons from the account of Jesus raising Lazarus from the dead. But let's go back, first of all, to our this conclusion on these two individuals that are interacting with the Lord. Thomas and Martha, they've showed us also in this passage that they're human. That they're human. Both these examples here, the dear Lord Jesus guides them and instructs them. And knows he doesn't banish them or cast them out. But he lovingly directs them. The Bible tells us to trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not on thine own understanding. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Verse 6 says, In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. We, like Thomas, like Martha, must acknowledge him. Acknowledge him as Lord and for his direction that he is providing us when we acknowledge him. And sometimes it might not seem natural. Sometimes it might... seem like it's strange. But let me just say, his way is always going to be the best way for us. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not in thine own understanding. Always acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. Message tonight, I want to preach a little while on following Christ. Pleasing God requires faith, obedience, and willingness. First, see faith. Following Christ, pleasing God, requires faith. And we've seen the tenses of faith with Martha. And it's going to be good. It'll be good to see the Lord has your salvation in his hands. It'll be good for you. It'll be good for me. It's good for us to know our salvation is settled and secure in his hands. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, Philippians chapter 2 and verse 12. And that's not talking about work salvation there. Not talking about working to your way to heaven, like many would think. But Paul is telling the Philippians to examine themselves. Examine themselves. Verse 13 says, For it's God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. We need to be aware of his presence in our lives. If you're not seeing him work, if you're not seeing his involvement in your life, if you're not feeling the urges there to follow his will, you need to check up. Amen. Check up. Get it settled. He wants you to be close. He wants you to be clean. Amen. Amen. And so that's faith. Faith. And just like you can believe that you're saved, just like you can believe you're saved, you can believe he's coming back. Woo-hoo. Amen. You know he is. Amen. The Bible has told us so many times the rapture, the tribulation here on this earth, and his return to rule and reign upon the earth, and the new Jerusalem descending. All this the Bible has stated and told us. Push that blood clot back down there. Anyway, amen. He's coming back, and it's going to be good to know that the Lord has your future in his hands. He's got you. Amen. He's got your future right there. So just keep a settled heart and trusting spirit. When you got that in his word, hold on to it. hold on to it. Don't, I mean, somebody could come along, or someday it might come along, you know, not the greatest of day for you, and start maybe shaking some of your confidence. No, hold on. Hold on to what you know that the Lord has told us. So that's past faith. That's present faith. Or this is present faith now, the right now faith that you and I need. Amen. Right now. I mean, it's good to know our past is secure. It's good to know that the future is secure in the Lord's hands. But what about the nasty now and now? That's what we need. We need Him close all the time. And we need to have a connection day by day, hour by hour, close connection with Him. Amen. And by developing that, then you've got the surety that you're in His will. You know He's going to take and watch care over you. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not on thine understanding. All thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Believe He's right there with you, right now. But somebody might be thinking, well, Brother Jim, I don't see Him. I don't feel Him. You need to just believe. Just believe. Get a hold of what He has said in His Word and believe it. You might want to just go ahead and communicate with Him. A little more time speaking to Him, telling Him as you're going along. I mean, don't pray with your eyes closed when you're driving, but you might want to go ahead and ask Him to open up a way in the traffic for you and watch Him do it. And that'll help. Amen. Or maybe you're going to pull up and find a place at the Walmart parking lot. It's all crowded and there's no places. Go ahead and pray and ask God to give you one. Yeah, and watch Him. Amen. So there's ways we can grow in strength in our daily presence with God and knowing He's there with us. And it's good comforting to know. It's like when Martha, verse 7 says, she saith unto Him, yea, 27, Lord, I believe that Thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Verse 28, and when she had so said, she went her way. She was, man, she's done with the debate. Nothing else to say here. I know what He said is right. Amen. I mean, she's sort of challenging here along up to that. And like I say, He still loves her. He's directing her and guiding her. He's not, you know, casting her out here. But this is all, I believe, intended for you and I. Live in right now faith. You know He's there, and you seek His direction constantly, and then you've got that connection with Him right now. And secondly, see obedience. Obedience. Following Christ, pleasing God, requires obedience. And Jesus, we know from this passage, rose Lazarus from the dead, whole chapter 11, first part of chapter 12. And that was the purpose. The purpose, Jesus said, for Lazarus' sicknesses, for the glory of God, the Son of God might be glorified. But our text, there are other examples of God being glorified. There's other examples in chapter 11. We could see verses 30 through 43. I won't read all these. And verses 44 and 46, and we know that Lazarus, that Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, and He also, when he did, he told those there following Him to roll away, take away the stone. Take away the stone. And then when Lazarus came out from that tomb, and you know when, I'm going to go there, don't have time. Anyway, when Lazarus came out from that tomb, he was bound in grave clothes. And Jesus said, take ye away the grave clothes. Now you and I both know He could have told that stone to move Himself. He could have actually called Lazarus out of there without grave clothes on. He could have had the grave clothes stay there in the grave. But He raised Lazarus from the dead, and He told His followers to do these tasks. His followers, they're there, right there, standing beside Him, with Him. He called on his followers to do his task so that they would be involved in part of this miracle. They're there now, and they're hands-on. They're involved in what the Lord is doing in raising Lazarus. He calls us as a church, to pray, to give, to go, so we can be involved. We can be involved as part of a miracle, this miracle of missions. When you send missionaries, as this church is so faithful to do, all across the world, people are being saved. People are being saved. Orphanages are being built. Things are happening all across the world because of your involvement. You're part of a miracle right there. Just as surely as these that are standing by beside Jesus and rolling away the stone and taking away the grave clothes, they're part of that miracle. We have our own miracle now in the kingdom of God that we have a part of, praise the Lord. We have a part in glorifying His Son Jesus by praying, by giving, by going, and reaching the lost. Tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Now, that's not like the Pharisee there in Luke chapter 16. It's not like the Pharisee, saying, "Oh, Lord, I'm so glad that I'm not like this publican here." Not haughtily. They can sense that if you've got that kind of a spirit. But sincerely, just like the publican spirit was, "Lord, be merciful unto me, a sinner." That's the kind of spirit when we go out and talk to folks about Jesus, they need to see in us. Is that spirit of humility that would actually cause someone to want to listen. Plant a seed. Reach somebody. And when we are seeking first the kingdom of God, then we'll have a part of this miracle of the kingdom of God's growth, glorifying to God. And finally, willingness. Willingness. Willingness to represent Christ. Now here we have to go to John chapter 12. John chapter 12, and these first 11 verses are part of the story of Lazarus being raised from the dead. And there is a portion here in the middle of this. I'm going to read verses 1 and 2, and then 9, 10, and 11. But the portion in the middle we're going to leave off this evening is that part where Mary had taken the ointment. And you know you've read that before, and there's plenty of messages there. But chapter 12, verse 1, "And Jesus, 6 days before the Passover, came to Bethany," again back to Bethany, "where Lazarus, which had been dead, whom he raised from the dead. There they made him a supper, and Martha served, but Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with him." So Lazarus is there at the table. Jesus is there. It's a supper for the Lord's honor. Then 9, 10, 11, verse 9, "Much people of the Jews therefore knew that he was there, and they came not for Jesus' sake only, but that they might see Lazarus also, whom he had raised from the dead. But the chief priests consulted that they might put Lazarus also to death, because that by reason of him, many of the Jews went away and believed on Jesus." Willingness to represent Christ. The supper was attended by Jesus. Martha served. Lazarus was one of them that sat at the table with Jesus. And because Lazarus was there, all Bethany knew. They knew this. They knew that he had been raised from the dead. And many people believed, the scripture says. Many believed. And God was glorified. But what if Lazarus had been fearful? Hadn't he heard about the Pharisees? They sought to kill him. What if he had hid himself, hid away, and didn't go to be with Jesus? What if he'd been fearful? A lot of those people there, they believed, would not have that day. they wouldn't have that day, and maybe never. And this, I'm not talking about politics right now, but the definition of representative, to serve as the counterpart or image of, we are the counterpart of the kingdom of God in Christ. Listens. Amen. Believers. You are the image of Christ. So people, do they see you and know you follow Christ? Do people know you're following Christ when they see you? About who you are and how you act? Do you influence? Do you influence anyone to believe? To believe on Jesus? Are you willing to represent Him? This took some courage. This took some courage. Lazarus to be there. Now, not everybody's going to like you if you do. Not everybody will like you. Matter of fact, you're going to be in the minority in most of the places that you go, except maybe here. Amen. But, hey, there's going to be some. There will be some that are going to look to you. That are going to actually be seeking that walk of God that you have. And you'll be able to share how it was that you came to know Him and what He's done in your own life. So my prayer is this. Lord, help me to represent You willingly. Amen. To willingly represent You. And would You join me in praying like that as we close? Amen. Father in heaven, in Jesus' name, look at John 11 and 12 here, and we see that there's human beings that are serving You, that are involved in the kingdom of God and the work even here. And we are but flesh, but we are believers. And we ask, dear Lord, that You help us, dear Lord, to have a single purpose in our hearts, single purpose to glorify You and not entertain the cares of this world. We pray that You'd help us also, dear Lord, not to be grieved when we go before You, Lord Jesus, if things aren't exactly as we wish. We know that You're God, and we know that You do all things well, and what You do is for our good. And we praise You, dear God, for that. Help us, dear Lord, accept Your direction and the guidance that You provide for us. Help us to be faithful to follow that in Jesus' name. And Lord, help us to also be representatives, willing representatives of the kingdom of God here on earth. As we are going about our affairs, let them see Jesus in our lives. Let them know that we are believers and that we do follow You. We praise You in Jesus' name. If there's one here tonight that's not yet saved, doesn't know the salvation that You offer freely, I pray that would be the one that would come, that would receive You. I pray, Lord, for believers that have seen themselves, perhaps in some of these.